Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in October, and we'll send you a limited edition Here I Stand t-shirt. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Just click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Craig 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by Reformation Day, and we'll send you a limited edition long sleeve shirt along with your other membership benefits. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Refusing to muddy our boots with the muck and mire of politics is simply not an option for a follower of Christ.
Tradition is smarter than any one of us, smarter than any group of us, smarter than any generation.
With modern bromances or modern friendships or even modern marriages, the moment it's not fun anymore, you're not happy anymore, you just abandon it. You leave it because it's not serving you.
The discerning consumer of this type of television should say, Rod Parsley is offering these blessings, Larry Huck is offering these blessings. I think I want those ones better than those ones, so I'll send my money to that guy.
Colorado trumpet players love Issues Etc.
I dare say there has been no greater agent of change in the 20th century and the 21st century in America, indeed probably in the West, than a little pill. I'm not talking about the little blue pill. I'm talking about the pill, as they used to call it, hormonal birth control. Now, Christians of goodwill do differ on the morality of the thing, but I think we must all agree that it has changed our society and our thinking about family, about parenting, and especially about children in a deeply, deeply disturbing way. Whether it's right or wrong, it has changed our thinking against natural family, against children, and perhaps maybe it has also contributed to the moral morass in the United States that we find today with regard to marriage and sex and gender. Now, with that said, that's been the effect of the pill. Where did it come from? What worldview gave birth to the pill? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our series Worldview Watch continues with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. We'll talk about hormonal birth control, then both an update on the November elections and a little bit of post-game on that second presidential debate with Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway of the Federalist. Feel free to join us with your questions or comments over the course of the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. Joining us for our series Worldview Watch, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Oaks, North Dakota, creative director of Worldview Everlasting TV, and author of the book Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. Jonathan, welcome back.
Thank you for having me on.
What do we need to know about the worldview that gave us the pill?
Yeah, that's a fascinating question because I think it's not easy to answer. There's maybe more than one answer, and it depends on what direction you go at the question. But if you look for the historic answer, as in you go back 100 years, or even, I guess, really just 60, 75 years, and ask, who were the people that were advocating the development of the pill? Who were the people that were advocating the acceptance of it as a moral good, which you mentioned in the opening? You know, Christians of goodwill can disagree on this. There was a time when we did not. There was a time when basically all of Christianity called this thing a moral evil, and that shift is one of the more interesting pieces of this puzzle. Whether the shift was right or wrong, it's not very often that you have Christendom kind of U-turning on something like that. But if you go back and you look at the groups that were most vocal and the big advocates, they were a very clear hyper-atheistic modernism and evolutionary modernism. Names like Margaret Sanger and Alfred Kinsey were proponents of an evolutionary view of humanity called eugenics, which believed that you could apply evolutionary theory to the genes and development of the human species, including races, black, white, Asian, et cetera, that there would be some that would be stronger than others, both mentally and physically, and that through intentional stock control, we would be able to improve the human species and become closer to that super mankind that most of that era was enamored with. And particularly then, if you're going to control the stock of the species of humanity, you've got to control our breeding, and most notably, you've got to stop the undesirables from having children. And so a lot of that early push for birth control was less about giving a woman the freedom to have a career. That's kind of what came later. And it was more about stopping various racial groups, particularly from being able to breed. And that would include then really not just racial groups, but the impoverished, the poor particularly, because it was assumed that if you were poor, you were therefore less intelligent. You had less good brain genes. And so we didn't want you passing those on, because then your children, also poor and stupid like you, would be sort of a weight on society. And with this came a number of other things, including the advocacy for the killing of what then they called retarded, today we would call special needs people. And all of this, fascinatingly enough, went hand in hand with the rise of a small empire called the National Socialist Movement in Germany, which we normally today refer to as the Nazis. And many of these same individuals in America were friends with the pre-Jew destroying Nazi regime, back before the curtain had kind of fallen away from what Hitler was doing. They were advocating these things together. And it's not, so don't hear me saying, I'm not saying the Nazis gave us birth control. You know, you could take that and it's kind of almost radically silly. But what I am saying is that the worldview that brought about and developed this view of controlling the human body, historically speaking, is tied to some things that as Christians, you know, we really don't want to be tied to. Whether or not you can now use the pill and be a Christian is a little bit of a different question. But like many other things in life, you know, how do you separate the mixture once it's been mixed? How do you pull apart something that maybe in one era would not be wrong, but now it's so entwined with other things that are wrong in the current era that we can't separate them? You know, the Augsburg Confession of the Lutheran Church talks about some of the rites in the Roman Catholic worship service in this way. It basically says the rites aren't wrong in themselves, but they're so infused with the false teaching about the sacrifice of the Mass, the false teaching about purgatory indulgences, that if we were to do them, even though it isn't wrong to bow in this way or to light a candle in this way, we would send the message that we're saying these other things that are wrong are right. And that's one of the big questions for Christians to kind of wrestle with in the present about what we would call birth control, not just hormonal, but any type of prevention of procreation. Why are we doing this comes down to be a big issue. And then when you're dealing with the hormonal birth control, you are increasingly now seeing other problems. And that's sort of what spawned this conversation is some of these they're very newsworthy, but they're not making the mass media news attention that the use of these pills, which has always been a bit not forced on us. They've moved quickly through medical science more quickly than, say, Tylenol or Neosporin got to. The effects are slowly being studied, and they're not happy things.
What does the latest research tell us about two things? The kind of the American public in particular, women's attitudes about the pill, and the effects that the pill have been showing now for, well, how I guess we could probably say two generations now.
Right. There was this massive study released from the University of Copenhagen, and it was over well over a decade's worth of study and women from ages 15 to 34 and trying to look at the effects of the pill in a very specific way, namely on their emotional life. And what they found was that by a pretty high margin, enough to be what they would call scientifically clear, this isn't like a 1% kind of thing, that women who use the pill are more likely to be then later be prescribed antidepressants. and that therefore there is a connection between the use of the pill and an increased likelihood of depression in the individuals who do that. And this was a very secular study. This is not a Christian thing, but it immediately got lumped into kind of the cry against patriarchy that the feminist movements become, you know, rather famous for, is everything is male chauvinism, and that this entire study is just a matter of misguided the misguided need to treat women as less than men. And yet at the same time, there were quite a few people on Twitter and other social media outlets, women, speaking out saying, "Dear goodness, I'm so glad to know this. I've wondered." You know, this has been an issue for me, and now maybe it's good to be vindicated to know that I didn't just think this was what was causing my depression. I actually now can see it scientifically shown. So you see there with you is your second question, was to tell us about American women. It tells us that they're quite divided on the matter and that there's a stigma against speaking out about it, that the movement to promote the pill for the sake of women's liberation, meaning their freedom to have sex with who they want to and to not have babies but be in the workforce, has become such a strong movement that if a woman speaks out contrary to this, just for herself, she is under threat of being stigmatized, of being, you know, not part of the clan, as it were. And so you see that happening as well. One of the things that this sparked in my own head is sort of, you got to chuckle, you know, hormones are going to affect people. You know, if you pump someone full of hormones, one way or the other, it's going to do something to their body. And so to have science finding that a woman's hormone amplified has an effect on her emotionally, that shouldn't be any more surprising than saying the same thing would happen with a male hormone pumped into a man, or vice versa, right? Yet here we have it, you know, being shown, and then the purpose of the study is to say, now, can we be more careful than just blanketly prescribing the pill to everyone and anyone, and also be aware of the connection so that if somebody is already depressed, that maybe we don't give them the pill right away, but treat the depression first. That's the goal of this study. And this is being kind of treated like pseudoscience by an ideological movement that claims to be all about the health of women. Right, and so that's where, as Christians, you really got to watch this and be like, what on earth is going on? Who has our best interest in mind in all of this thing, right? And to know then that the society certainly does not. Whether you're talking about it from the edge of the capitalism, the big pharmaceuticals that are clearly in their businesses to make money, or whether you're talking about it from the side of sort of the socialist American government that wants to have control of the pill so they can keep the welfare state perpetuated, both sides are kind of against the freedom of a woman to know the risks in her health, right? And what taking this pill for her entire life might actually do. There is some information out there about far more worse connections with the pill and abortion than to depression, namely to things like breast cancer. And you know, it October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You see pink ribbons everywhere, and golly, in my small town in North Dakota, someone's hung a black brassiere from a sign on the city street to celebrate breast cancer awareness, and yet quietly, we never bother to even have the studies, or we go away from the studies that would question, are we causing this by some of our actions, by the abortions particularly, but then also by the connections to the hormonal birth control? We won't even have that conversation, right? So there's a weird dichotomy where we want to have women's health, but as long as we don't question this narrative of the hyperfeminist movement that was born out of the eugenics movement, right? And as Christians, then we sit here, and at the very least, we have to begin to ask, you know, what's healthy, what's good, what does God's word say about sex, marriage, and children? I know that's a slightly different topic, but it's a pretty important one. And if we're not going to say that, if we're not going to have those questions, then we shouldn't be surprised if we find ourselves taking up positions that really are not the positions of Christianity and the church.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest. It's our series Worldview Watch. Today we're talking about hormonal birth control on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 11th. When we come back, we're going to talk about the attitude toward, in particular, large families that has come along with the birth control worldview.
graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your confessional Lutheran nonprofit or church need a new website? Let WordSites help you for free. WordSites is a volunteer-led group of technology and marketing gurus who have come together to help their fellow Lutherans. With the support of an effective website, you can clearly proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the digital world that we live in. To submit your organization for consideration or to learn more, visit wordsites.org. WordSites, your confessional Lutheran website, reformed.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/LutherAcademy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series Worldview Watch with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. We're talking about the pill. Jonathan, I know that you have what is considered today a large family. How many kids?
We have five.
Five kids. That's considered today a large family. I grew up in the early 60s and 70s and come from a family of five. And I can tell you back in the day then, it was considered, well, medium-sized, perhaps. Some might call it a large family. I was speaking just yesterday with someone who has, I believe, five-plus kids, and kind of that breaking point for a lot of people is four or five kids. The attitude toward people with large families, people like yourself and your wife, who have what some people think are too many kids. Talk about that in the worldview of birth control.
Yeah, it's really what the worldview of birth control has created for our culture, and it's a strange prejudice that is quite scoffing. Total strangers from the time we had three kids would come up to my wife in the store and basically insult her, laughing, trying to be funny about it, but making a joke of the children as if they aren't real humans or weren't there listening. And there were even times where people would tell her or ask her, are you going to stop now? And someone who she doesn't even know, right? And that's something that's just unbelievable 150 years ago, not even in Christian culture, in pagan cultures, where the understanding of the children are the future of the world, and that our society, our dreams, our ideas, everything rests on more humans. That we would reject this idea and live in a world where we believe we can maintain civilization without a future is very much a part of this strange evolutionary leap that humanity somehow is going to make through genetic control. And there's also another piece to the story, which is the mythology of population explosion, the mythology which was created basically by one book written in the 80s, which was not well sourced, but everyone took it and ran with it. So to this day, people will talk about there not being enough land or food or resources. All of that's a myth, and quite the opposite. We're about to hit a massive population implosion that will continue and maybe be unstoppable, not only because once you stop having as many kids as you were having before, you invert this pyramid and you start to shrink, but on top of that, countries where this is already happening, like Russia, are finding that even paying people to have children doesn't work because this worldview of not having children has become so powerful. And, you know, that's enough for its own conversation and topic. But what is mind-boggling, again, is that Christians would absorb this view of children and look at a Christian with three or four children and see them as the anomaly, see them as strange, tell them they have their hands full, rather than congratulate them, be excited about their children, or even encourage them, thank them, saying, thank you for doing this good work of bearing the future of the human race in order to pass, as Christians, our faith on to it. You know, Dr. Luther calls having children a great good work in the Large Catechism, and one that we should compel our children to effectively, that we should teach them all to aspire to this. And the loss of that idea is not about you must have children or else. It's the loss of the idea that we would aspire to children, that my lineage would be the gift I have to give to the world, a duty which serves my neighbor. That we've lost this is very much a reflection of our adoption of birth control assumptions, which, again, we are borrowing from, inadvertently, very anti-human, anti-Christian people 100 years ago.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Oaks, North Dakota. He's creative director of Worldview Everlasting TV and author of the book Broken, Seven Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break As Often as Possible. You'll find a link to this book and to Worldview Everlasting TV under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jonathan, thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.